I said, man, here I was yesterday. I told my wife, I said, look, I think I'm gonna end up going sitting in the car. I can't even watch this game. I said, this thing is messing me up. I said, man, you need to take some of that energy now and turn it into praise. You know, I mean, we put all that energy into things like that, a game that's gonna be over. And you know, after this season, the game is really not gonna mean a whole lot. And we put all that, and we don't have any praise left for God. You know, we've praised the football players. We've praised the baseball players. We praise the basketball players. We praise the musicians. We praise the actor. And we don't have any praise left for God.
Welcome to Anchored in Jesus, the teaching ministry of Dr. William R. Glaze, founder of the Pittsburgh Institute of Biblical Studies, author, and senior pastor of Bethany Baptist Church. This is Sonia Hall thanking you for joining us today for the conclusion of How to Get Your Praise On. So let's join Dr. Glaze for the conclusion of How to Get Your Praise On.
I think God might have a heart attack if some of us did that. We might have a heart attack. Just to praise him and lift him up. So first of all, there's a call for an introductory response from the worshiper. Secondly, we see that there is an awareness of God's presence. Wow. Whew. There's awareness of God's presence. The 100th Psalm in verse 2 says, come before his presence with singing. His presence. Come into his presence. Psalm 95, verse 2 says, let us come before his presence with thanksgiving. Psalm 105, verse 1 says, call upon his name. Realize who you're talking to. And then Psalm 147 says, for it is good to sing praises to our God. His presence, that as I have that introductory response, and now I'm coming into his presence. I realize that I have an audience with the God of the universe. That this God who sits high and who walks low. That this God who is the creator of the heavens and the earth. That this God who is watching over all, who sees all, has decided to join me in my time with him. To sense the presence of God. When we were in Virginia, we had the opportunity to go to one of the caverns down there. And they would take you down into these deep, dark caverns, and the guide would have a flashlight, and there would be lights all along the way. And they would get you back so far, and then they would say, we want you to see what it feels like to sense total darkness. And you'd be back maybe 100 yards or so in the cavern, and then all of a sudden they just cut out all the lights. I mean, in this pitch dark. You can't even see your hand in front of your eyes. That's how dark it is. And it's just nothing but stillness. But you know what? They usually take about 20 or 30 people. And you know what you know all around you? The presence of other people. That there's other people around you. You can't see them. You just, and the guide says, don't say anything. Everybody just gets quiet. But there's just that assurance that everybody else is around you. In the midst of the darkness, that everybody else is around you. And when we come in our praise time, that's why, you know, God in the Bible condemns folk for praising him with their lips and their heart being far from him. And there's a whole lot of people that praise God with their lips and their heart is nowhere near God. This morning, maybe you might have sat there. And your mind is, you know, on some biscuits in the oven, or your mind is on that problem that you have, and you came and somebody said it here earlier. I think Brother Forbes said it. You know, we come to praise the Lord. That was the first thing he said when he opened up the service today, is that we've come to praise the Lord. Some folk just sat there. Once again, not that we're saying that you have to make a noise or you have to say anything. But I could tell that for some folk, that just didn't move them, you know, because they just kept doing what they were doing. So there was no moving in the heart when it said, we come to praise the Lord. And so there may be some of you sitting here today that even though you're in the midst of praise and you're in the congregation of praise, that there's not praise in your heart. And that's why God says we have to recognize his presence. We have to understand his presence. That if, who you praising? If you got on a song and you say, well, I'm getting my praise on. I hear people say all the time, I'm getting my praise on. Well, where's your heart at? Have you realized the presence of God in this situation? I mean, is God near you? Is God close? Can you sense his presence? Like being in that dark cavern when they cut out all the lights and you can sense the presence of other people around you. Can you sense the presence of God when you come into your praise time? Can you sense his presence? But some of us, we praise and our heart is far away from our lips. Man, it's just, I don't know how it happens. We just divorce the two. We separate the two. There's our lips over here and our heart over here. And they're not even lining up anywhere near each other. The psalmist in this prototype praise song says that when you come and praise God, there has to be an awareness of God's presence that you've got to know. That God is here, that God is right near you. And see, you know, man, some of us, that's why, now I know I'm getting ready to get in trouble, but that's all right. You can send your cards and letters. That's fine. But you know what? That's why I don't refer to God as the man upstairs. You know, I hear people say it all the time. The man upstairs. The man upstairs being good to me. Well, see, I don't want the man upstairs. I don't need a man upstairs. I need a man right beside me. You know, I need a man in me. You know, if he's upstairs, then he ain't not going to help me upstairs. I need a God who is right here, and I need to sense his presence. I need to know that he's near. And that, maybe that's why some people really don't understand this whole thing about the presence of God is because they see him. Not only do they say the man upstairs, but that's the concept that they got in their mind and in their heart is that he's upstairs. But the scripture says, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. He says, lo, I will be with you always, even until the end of the age. God is always with us. He's near to us. And when we come to get our praise on, we have to recognize his nearness and who we're praising. The third element of the praise song is that somewhere in the psalm, the psalmist acknowledges God's greatness. In Psalm 100, he says, know that the Lord, he is God. Know that the Lord, he is God. In Psalm 95, it says, for the Lord is the great God. In Psalm 105, it said, talk of his wondrous works. In Psalm 145, it says, God, great is the Lord and greatly to be praised. And in Psalm 47, it says, great is our Lord in might and power. The greatness of God. That somewhere when you come to get your praise on, you know, and you know, it's not about me. And it's not about what I need, but it's about God, how great you are. You know, how great thou art. How great thou art. And God is a great God. And see, this is not, no. Notice here, this is to differentiate what he does. Because we're going to talk about that next, what he does. But this is more or less who he is. That God is omniscient. He knows everything. That God is omnipresent, that he's everywhere. That God is omnipotent, he's all powerful. That God is immutable, he doesn't change. He is a great God. And you can go back and you can study the gods of other religions and you will find that there are limitations as to what they can do. Buddha just sits there with a big stomach. Muhammad is in the grave. Joseph Smith is dead. All the gods, the Ashtaroth and Dagon, they are only clay gods. They are only gods of stone. But the God that we serve is a great God. The God that we serve is able to, there's a thing that some religions today have this thing about God, is a force. And once again, the whole New Age movement, that's all that is that God is a force. And as you look at other religions that proclaim this impersonal God, but thank God that we have a personal God who is a great God, who has a heart and who has a concern for us. And he desires that we have the best. And he's able to do exceeding and abundantly above all that we could ask or think. He is a great God. Oh, man, I wish I had time to just tell you about how great God is. But let me give you a testimony about how great the Lord is. God is so great that he's able to provide whatever you need. God is so great that if you're dealing with a physical situation today, that he's able to touch your body, and he's able to give you strength to keep on walking, to keep on doing the things that you need to do. God is so great that if whatever your need is today, God is able to meet it. And we need to recognize him as this great God. The next element of the psalm of praise is an acknowledgement of God's acts. Now, see, here's where you get into something that God has done. In Psalm 100, it says that it is he who made us, that he is the creator. In Psalm 95, it says the sea is his, for he made it, and his hands form the dry land. In Psalm 105, it says, remember his marvelous works which he has done. In Psalm 145, it says, one generation shall praise your works to another and shall declare your mighty acts. And Psalm 147 says, he heals the brokenhearted and binds up their wounds. So at somewhere in the psalm, the psalmist acknowledges the acts of God. There was an article that appeared in one publication, and it said 10 reasons why God wouldn't receive tenure at a university. Reason number one, he only published one book. Reason number two, some scholars seriously doubt that he wrote it himself. Reason number three, it was first published in Hebrew and then in Greek. Number four, it had no references. Number five, he was vague about his background, claiming I am that I am. Number seven, he did not keep regular office hours. Next one, he expelled his first two students. The next one, he issued 10 rules for maintaining campus discipline without faculty or student hearings. The ninth one, he sent his son to teach the class. And then the last one, scientists cannot replicate his results. See, God wouldn't receive tenure at the university. But let me tell you a little bit about some of the acts of God. That just as I look at the area of salvation. Now just think about this. I was teaching this the other night. All these things happen when you got saved. Now the minute that you got on your knees and you said, be merciful to me, a sinner, and I received Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior, that the minute that you did that, all these things happen. You were justified. You were declared right before God. You were regenerated. You received a new nature. You were reconciled. Whereas at one time you were enemies with God, now you and God were made friends. You were adopted. You were taken out of the devil's family and you were placed into God's family. You received union with Christ. That is, Christ was in you and you were in Christ. You receive sanctification. From that moment, you were separated from the things of the world and you were dedicated unto God. And you received what I call perseverance. That is, you were in the hand of God and nobody can take you out of his hand. Oh, let me tell you about the acts of God. He might not get tenure at a university, but he has done some great things. And I thank God for his acts. Because I thank God through the corridors of time that he looked down and he saw folk who would be lost. He looked down and he saw people who would go to hell. And he sent his son to die on the cross for our sin. And I thank God for salvation because I know that if I close my eyes in death, I'm going to wake up in the presence of the Lord. But you see, I not only thank God for salvation, but I thank God for the salvation I have. You see, this salvation I have. So some folk got a salvation you can lose. Yeah. Some folk got salvation. I can't lose my salvation. Well, Pastor, you believe in once saved, always saved? Let's put it this way. I believe that once I gave my heart to God, that the Bible says that I was in his hands and nobody can pluck me out. I believe that Romans 8:28 says, for what shall separate us from the love of God? Shall tribulation or distress or persecution or nakedness or famine or sword in peril? Nay, in all these things, we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. For I am persuaded that neither life nor death nor angels nor principalities nor things present nor things to come nor height nor depth nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God which is in Christ Jesus. That's the salvation that I have. And I thank God for his mighty acts. And as I come to get my praise on, oftentimes I can stay there a long time. Or if somebody say, park there a little while, Pastor, park there. I can park at my salvation for a long time. And I can declare his mighty acts. Acknowledgement of his acts. And then we see the next thing is, when we get our praise on, is an exhortation to thanksgiving. The psalmist said in 100, be thankful unto him and bless his name. In Psalm 95, let us come into his presence with thanksgiving. Psalm 105, oh, give thanks to the Lord. And Psalm 147, sing unto the Lord with thanksgiving. As we break these psalms down and we look at the elements of the psalms, that there is an element of thanksgiving where we are exhorted to give God thanks for what he has done. As we consider, you know, this whole thing of thanksgiving, it's important that we give God the praise that's due him, that we give him the thanks that he deserves. Somebody said you ought to thank him. If you own just one Bible, you are more blessed than one third of the world who don't even have access to a Bible. You ought to thank him. You ought to thank God if you woke up this morning, because there's more people who woke up this morning with illness than we can shake a stick at. You ought to thank God this morning. If you've never experienced the danger of battle, the loneliness of imprisonment, the agony of torture, or the pains of starvation, you are ahead of 500 million people in the world today. You ought to thank God today. You ought to thank God if you are attending a church meeting without the fear of harassment, arrest, torture, or death, because you are more blessed than almost 3 million people in the world today. You ought to thank him today if you have food in your refrigerator, clothes on your back, and a roof over your head, because you are richer than 75% of the world's population. You ought to thank him today if you have money in the bank, in your wallet, or spare change in the dish. Someplace, if you have change, someplace, because listen to this, you are among the 8% of the world's wealthiest individuals. If you got a dollar in your pocket today, you're in the top 8%. You ought to thank him today. You ought to thank him. You ought to thank him today if you can hold your head up with a smile on your face and are truly thankful, because a lot of people can't do that or they won't do it. You ought to thank him today. And as you come to put this psalm of praise together, there ought to be a time of thanksgiving. There ought to be that time where you give thanks to the Lord. Then I like this one right here. You ought to thank him today if you know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, because you are in the minority. You are in the minority. We got this thing going around, all these folk claiming Christ and claiming to be Christian, but that's just with the lips. Those who are of the heart, very small minority. And if you are in that minority today, you ought to thank him. You ought to thank him. And then he closes with an acknowledgement of God's goodness and his mercy. See, now, how do you get your praise on? So you folks talking about, well, we're going to get our praise on. This is how you get your praise on. This is how you get your praise on right here. All right? You call a call for the interruptory response of the worshiper, an awareness of God's presence, an acknowledgement of his greatness, an acknowledgement of his acts, an exhortation of thanksgiving, and then an acknowledgement of his goodness and mercy. Psalm 100, verse 5. For the Lord is good, and his mercy is everlasting. Psalm 145. The Lord is gracious and full of compassion, slow to anger and great in mercy. Psalm 147. The Lord takes great pleasure in those who fear him, in those who hope in his mercy. God is a merciful God. There was a little boy whose name was Timmy, and he had just started kindergarten. And his mother was very protective of him because she had watched over him all his life. And so the first couple days that he went to school, his mother went with him. And he was beginning to feel his oats a little bit. And he told his mom, he says, Mom, I want to be like the big boys. And I want to go to school by myself. And she didn't want to get in his way. But she did, really felt that she wasn't ready to let him go. So she told him that it would be all right if you walked to school by yourself. And she had a neighbor that she had asked just to keep an eye on him as he walked by. And her name was Miss Goodness. And Miss Goodness said, I'll be glad to do that. As a matter of fact, I take my daughter for a walk every day, who's a little toddler. And we go for a walk, and I'll be glad to keep an eye on him as he goes to school every day. So the next day, as Timmy walked by, Mrs. Goodness and her little girl, Marcy, were walking down the street, and they were following him. And she did this for a whole week. And as they were going down the street, one of Timmy's friends said, man, do you notice that every time we go to school, there's a lady that's following us? You know, what's up with that? And Timmy said, well, I know who she is. And the friend said, well, who is she? And Timmy said, well, her name is Shirley Goodness. And she is following us every day. And the little boy said, well, why is that? And Timmy said, well, every night, my mother makes me quote the 23rd Psalm. And in the 23rd Psalm, I have to say every night, Shirley Goodness and Marcy will follow me all the days of my life. So I guess I better get used to it. That's all right. I'm laughing, man. It was funny to me. It was funny to me. I've been saving that one for about 3 months. I said, I got to work that one then. Shirley Goodness and Marcy will follow me all the days of my life. And you know what? What a blessing it is to know that goodness, that God's goodness and his mercy will follow us all the days of our life. And the psalmist concludes the psalm with an acknowledgement of the goodness and mercy of God. And as we get our praise on, let us follow the format of the psalmist and realize that as we praise him, we can praise him according to the scripture. And we can glorify him in such a way where we will be using the scripture to lift up the name of the Lord.
Thank you for joining us today on Anchored in Jesus. Tune in next time for the first half of Walking in God's Favor. If you would like to request an audio copy of today's message, How to Get Your Praise On, you can contact us at anchoredinjesus.org and request How to Get Your Praise On. That's anchoredinjesus.org and request How to Get Your Praise On. Or call us at 877-831-5060. When you visit our website, anchoredinjesus.org, you can view many of the other teachings by Dr. Glaze. Dr. Glaze is the author of 8 books. For more information about these resources and how to order, visit anchoredinjesus.org or call 877-831-5060. We also invite you to like us on Facebook at Anchored in Jesus Ministries. If you would like to make a financial contribution, please visit our website, anchoredinjesus.org, or send it to Anchored in Jesus at P.O. Box 24034, Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, 15206. Once again, that website is anchoredinjesus.org, or you can send your financial contribution to Anchored in Jesus at P.O. Box 24034, Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, 15206. It's through your prayers and gifts that we remain on the air. Our title, Anchored in Jesus, comes from Hebrews chapter 6, verse 19, which lets us know that Jesus is our high priest and an anchor for the soul. Now, for Dr. Glaze and our volunteer staff, I'm your host, Sonia Hall, reminding you, you don't have to be tossed in the storms of life. Your soul can be anchored in the Lord.